All right. We ready in the booth. Adjust my instrument. Levels are okay? Good. All right. Let's do this thing. Write it in the books. Episode 140. 140. Wow. We all set with the music and everything else? All right. I'm ready to go. Psyched up, going to have fun today. Hopefully, the people who listen to this will agree with me as well. All right, here we go. Three S's, star, smile, strong. Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Hey, it's Elton Jim, and welcome to Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNPlus.com. Every Monday, a new episode is posted for your podcasting pleasure. Your bountiful binging. Whatever it is, thank you for clicking and swiping and downloading and whatever it is that you do to find us on a weekly basis. It is appreciated. And hopefully you've been around for all previous podcasts, which you can find on my landing page at WGNPlus.com. You just go to the website, WGNPlus.com. You go to a prompt that says Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and there it is. All previous 139 episodes of said podcast, which can only mean one thing. This is number 140. And thank you so much for tuning in. My newest little thing here with the podcast is after I did the math, I figured I might as well continue to take advantage, since I have my human calculator memory and ability there. 168 hours in a week. All I'm asking for is one. One! You could do that, can't you? Just one hour out of 168 you have. Can't you please just spare me 1 hour? I'm looking at you with puppy dog eyes right now, like they do on that commercial. I'm in my podcast booth here with puppy dog eyes, saying, "Can't you just give me 1 hour a week? And if you do, you will get this adorable blanket or T-shirt." So, thank you so much for joining the podcast today. What I thought we would do is pay tribute to somebody who might not be on everybody's radar screen, but for somebody who I feel really deserves to be remembered and to be given their due and their recognition. Over the past couple of weeks, I believe it was right at the beginning of the new year here of 2019, Bob Einstein, who was a comedian. Most know him as Super Dave Osborne from the 80s. And in later years, he had a great second act by playing a great role on Larry David's Curb Your Enthusiasm as one of the talented side players on there. Wasn't on every episode, but when he was, he really always stole the episode as the character of Marty Funkhauser. And some little-known facts. I was surprised. I've been a fan of Bob Einstein's for many years, so I knew this. And when his obituary came out, and he did pass away at age 76 of cancer, and apparently it sounds as if he wasn't really telling a lot of people. I don't know if people knew he was sick or didn't. They didn't know the extent to which he was sick, because many of the people who reacted to his passing seemed to be surprised. And by all indications, I believe there will be a new season of Curb Your Enthusiasm, and certainly Bob Einstein, as part of the Marty Funkhauser character, was supposed to be a part of many of these episodes, as he has been for almost the entire run of the Curb Your Enthusiasm series. And many people, like Richard Lewis and others, seem to be shocked that he had passed away. But this little nugget of information, which was very interesting, I always thought, which came out in his obituary, which made sense, and which surprised many people, which just goes to show you that, he had a certain amount of fame, but certainly not widespread that people would know a lot of, or even any of the facts about him. But Bob Einstein was the older brother of one of my favorite comedians, one of my favorite comedy filmmakers, and just, in my mind, really a comic genius, Albert Brooks. And some people might be scratching their heads and saying, not only do I not know who Bob Einstein is, who's Albert Brooks? Well, if that's the case, then you really need to listen to this podcast today. Because what a talented family here. Albert Brooks, really one of the best comedy minds. If you have never seen Albert Brooks in action, I beg you, especially in today's world, with the access that we have via YouTube and other things, is to just go online and hit Albert Brooks on the Tonight Show. You know, hit Albert Brooks Tonight Show. He was on with Johnny Carson many times in the 70s and 80s. I would beg you to go back and look at some of the great Albert Brooks movies from the early 70s through even the 90s. Movies like Real Life, which was a takeoff in a forerunner, really, of the parodies that we have now of reality television. Real Life was one of his first, if not his first movie, but then there's a movie called Modern Romance, a classic movie that you have to see. Please go on Netflix, go streaming, go find it somewhere. Lost in America from the mid 80s, I believe it was 84 or 85. Another great movie of his, talking about the afterlife with Meryl Streep, is another one. Defending Your Life. You have to see Lost in America and Defending Your Life at the very least. You have to see those. Also, another one he did with Debbie Reynolds and in the 90s was a movie called Mother. And Debbie Reynolds plays an amazing role, and he plays a guy in his mid to late 40s who moves back with his mom. A classic movie. Some great, great moments. Albert Brooks, please. Please. Now, many people know Albert Brooks because he was one of the voices in Finding Nemo, which is great. I feel happy for Albert Brooks in that he found some fame somehow, you know, after many years of toiling, of being sort of a critic's darling, but never breaking through into the mainstream. And so then he finally became one of the fish in Finding Nemo, the voices, and he did get some notoriety from that, which is great, but that's not his greatest work by any means. Now the funny thing is, I said his brother is Bob Einstein, who just passed away. Albert Brooks obviously has a different name. Well, Albert Brooks' real name is Albert Einstein, so you could see why he changed his name. And if that sounds a little funny, it shouldn't be surprising, because their father was a comedian. He was kind of an old kind of Borscht Belt comedian from, you know, the 40s and 50s. And he actually went under the name of Park Your Carcass. Now, your carcass is your butt, and that was kind of a joke, but that was kind of his name. And he had, so that's the name he went by, Park Your Carcass. he had the odd notoriety of passing away at one of the Friars Club's roasts while it was going on at the dais, which is an odd thing, but hey, you never know. And he wasn't a very well-known comedian in terms of the mainstream, but he certainly was a comedian's comedian. Many comedians knew him, and that's why he was a member of the Friars Club, which was, at the time, it's still around. I've been a member of it, actually. It's in New York. Used to have one in Los Angeles as well, and it was an entertainment club for entertainers. And some of the greatest entertainers of all time were members of the Friars Club, and it was basically created so that these entertainers could have a place to go, because, you know, to just relax and be amongst each other and go and have dinner without being bothered by, you know, autograph hounds and things like that. It was a nice little safe haven. I mean, it certainly was a boys' club, as many of these clubs were, and later on it admitted women, but it was what it was, and those were the days, and those were the times. But anyway, so Bob Einstein and Albert Brooks are brothers, and Bob Einstein got his start. In fact, this is something I read that I did not know, which was interesting. I thought they were both born into this, you know, into this entertainment business family, and yet both brothers, especially maybe even Bob, were kind of turned off by the entire entertainment world. They were both teenagers when their father passed away. And I guess in true old-time comedy comedian, tradition, you would call it, like a roast, which you've seen on Comedy Central now, when someone is there and everybody just sort of, you know, makes some really rude insults at them, all in fun. But apparently that's kind of what Park Your Carcass's funeral was like. And the comedians were kind of, you know, at this funeral were kind of telling jokes about him. Almost like a roast, and in their minds, it was probably the best way to give a memorial to him. But I guess his kids were saying, "Geez, this is my dad, and he just passed away," and they were turned off at how these comedians were treating their father's death, and maybe they were a little too young to fully understand it, but it turned them off initially to show business. And eventually, of course, they both went into show business again. I guess they wound up understanding what was going on at the time, and they were just probably young and in grief, and they certainly can't be, can't be condemned for thinking that initially when your father passes away, especially suddenly and at a young age like that. But Bob Einstein went into advertising, but he still, as he was, you know, he still was around show business, and ultimately became a writer on the Smothers Brothers show, which was very popular in the late 60s. It became very controversial because during the Vietnam War, the show started to take on some very hard anti-war stances, and that was not very popular in the mainstream to be against the war at that time. It's hard for us to understand that now, especially in this age of social media, where everybody's viewpoint is out there. But there was a time when it was whether, you know, if you said something bad about the United States or the government, you were viewed as treasonous. And so the Smothers Brothers were young guys at the time. It was a younger oriented show, and while it certainly still went by many of the tried and true ways of a variety show with skits and, you know, silly skits and music, they did inject some, you know, social and cultural statements and opinions throughout the show, and it really wasn't sitting well with CBS, and they ultimately canceled the Smothers Brothers show. But Bob Einstein was a writer on that show, and he also appeared in sketches And I do remember, I was very young. I can't believe I remember these. But I was very young. I either remember him on the Smothers Brothers show, or later on, he was also a writer on the Sonny and Cher show. And I may remember him from there. And then I think he was also on a Dick Van Dyke variety show, which was called Van Dyke and Company. I remember that one because that was in the mid-70s, and Dick Van Dyke now was off of his own show from the 60s, the classic Dick Van Dyke show. And he had his own variety show. It didn't last very long, but I believe that Bob Einstein even won an Emmy Award for writing on that show. So he certainly was a behind-the-scenes guy, very well-known then in the industry as a funny writer. And then, of course, he came exploded on the in the 80s with this parody of Evel Knievel. People might have to, I don't know if you have to Google Evel Knievel. But, you know, Evel Knievel was the greatest, at the time, the greatest stuntman. In fact, I believe his son is doing that now, Bobby Knievel. But Evel Knievel would be, you know, was a motorcycle stuntman. He would jump over buses and cars and even tried to jump over a part of the Grand Canyon. And so, and broke all the bones in his body. Sometimes he made it, sometimes he didn't. And that's what was the great allure of that in the 70s, to watch Evel Knievel. Is he going to make it? And once again, go on Google and Google Evel Knievel at Caesar's Palace, and you'll see him attempt to jump over the fountains in front of Caesar's Palace. He cleared the fountains, but he didn't land very well, and him almost broke every bone in his body. And you see his body just in slow motion. Oh, my goodness. The bone, you know, it was just like it was like a rubber fish. So what was funny about all of a sudden this character that Bob Einstein created was Super Dave Osborne, was that he had a Evel Knievel like jumpsuit which had the stars and stripes on it and everything like that, and he had a baseball cap on, and he would explain in a very, you know, what was great about Bob Einstein, he had this very deadpan sense of humor. He had this deadpan voice, which is really why I'm talking about this today at all. Not only because I want to bring attention to Bob Einstein, but because one of my claims to fame, at least on the radio, was that I used to do a Ron Sando impersonation of the Cubs third baseman and Cubs broadcaster, who passed away a few years ago. But I used to do a Ron Sando impersonation on the radio and even did it for Ron Sando, and Ron even liked it. And a lot of times people would say that my Ron Sando impersonation sounded more like Super Dave Osborne. So not only here on the podcast today to commemorate the career of Bob Einstein and give him a little recognition, of which he certainly is deserving, I also thought I would do my Ron Sando and my Super Dave to show you the difference, the anatomy of an impersonation. And then it will be up to you to decide whether my impersonation of Ron Sando was really an impersonation of Super Dave Osborne with a few little hints and few little tweaks. So that's really why I wanted to talk about Bob Einstein, so I could do my voices for you. But I also really was really saddened because, as I said, I've always followed his career. The funny thing is, I was not a huge fan of the Super Dave Osborne character. And he started out, you know, he would appear on David Letterman quite a bit with the outfit on. And the whole shtick was that he would explain this incredible stunt that he was going to do. And even before the stunt happened, something would go wrong with the stunt. And they would obviously use a dummy, and he would be pulverized by something. He would fall off a building, or he would get hit by a car. The stunt never worked. And usually it didn't even work while he was doing the stunt. It happened even before. So it was kind of funny, but it was, you know, from my standpoint, the first few times I thought it was funny, but then it was sort of became the same joke, and I didn't really watch it, but because he had his own show then on Showtime, Super Dave show. But I always loved when I did watch him when he was on Letterman, because he was so great with Letterman, just going back and forth with their banter. As I said, he had such a dry delivery and a dry sense of humor, and he was so funny with that. Aside from the Super Dave character, even though he played Super Dave. And that's why you didn't even know who his name, Bob Einstein, because most people knew him as Super Dave. And as most great parodies become, if they're really good, like something like Spinal Tap, the general public even gets fooled. And I even wonder if some people thought that there was a guy named Super Dave who was just this inept. Now, it was so funny because when you would see, they would have footage of him doing the stunt, and it was clear then when the catastrophe happened that it was, you know, it was a dummy dressed up in the Super Dave outfit, and he was pulverized, and there's no way that Super Dave would ever be walking again if he got hurt like he did in this stunt that went wrong. And yet here he was talking about it, and you showed it. They showed the dummy just getting run over by cars and blown up and falling off of buildings. So that was so funny because it was so over the top and so outrageous. But I wonder if some people at the beginning thought that there really was a Super Dave who just really was, you know, this inept, you know, stuntman. But after a while, I mean, you had to have, I mean, even, you know, if you weren't getting the joke at the beginning, you had to get it, you know, because he was just pulverized. And as I said, I mean, Spinal Tap still to me remains the greatest of all parodies in that, you know, here was a mockumentary, which they actually coined that phrase for that. This fake documentary about a hard rock band with Michael McKean and Christopher Guest and Harry Shearer making up this 60s and 70s hard rock band called Spinal Tap and showing their comeback and having footage of them from the past and the present and this comeback thing with Rob Reiner as a director. And yet, you know, they never existed, and they did it so well, and they recreated and made fun of their subject in a serious way. It was over the top, but so was rock and roll that many people at first did not see the humor in the Spinal Tap movie because they thought it was just a documentary about some unknown band. But there was no band, and that was the great irony. Then Spinal Tap actually became a band in itself, and they did perform. So talk about the ultimate in parody, that it's so good you wind up becoming what you used to, that you were making fun of. It still, you know, has to stand as perhaps one of the greatest examples of parody in that it actually became legitimate. And that's where Super Dave was. And then you didn't hear about Super, you know, you didn't hear about Bob Einstein for, you know, for much. And then all of a sudden he popped up on Curb Your Enthusiasm, which, once again, if you haven't seen that show, you know, as you could tell, folks, I like things that are not in the mainstream all the time. I like stuff that's kind of off the beaten path. And certainly, while Curb Your Enthusiasm, you know, has gone on to win many awards and has become a very well-known show, it's still not a lot of people's cup of tea, and it does have a very unpolitically correct and biting humor that some people, especially in today's more sensitive eras, might think is crazy. But I love dark humor. And I remember knowing who Larry David was, once again, as a creator of the Seinfeld show, but he certainly was not a well-known comedian. And I remember seeing the first pilot special of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which kind of laid out the way the story would go. It was also a kind of a quasi-documentary about Larry David getting back into stand-up. And then that one was so good that they decided to make a whole show, and they tweaked it a little. But many of the same people that were in the original Curb Your Enthusiasm special became regulars on the show. But so I've been watching Curb Your Enthusiasm from day one as well. And so I was so happy to see Bob Einstein pop up in this reoccurring role as one of Larry's friends who always has a problem with, I mean, Larry has a problem with everybody, right? So I was great. It was great to see Bob Einstein come back after so many years and just really steal almost every scene he was in, just with his deadpan humor and the way he would just, battle with Larry. He was just as goofy as Larry was, but he also had a little self-righteous kind of way of spinning it in his favor. So it was a great character. So I bring this up because when I started doing my Ron Santo, people would say, well, you know, it doesn't really sound as much like Santo as it does like Super Dave Osborne. I would hear that all the time. So let me just, I thought it would be interesting to give a little insight into the impersonation. I like to do, I've always, since I was a little kid, I always did voices. Rich Little was very popular when I was growing up, so the impersonator was a big deal. There was Frank Ocean and Rich Little were the two big ones. There was also a guy named Fred Travellina, who I wasn't too crazy about. But Frank Ocean was really good, and Rich Little at the time was the cream of the crop. And he would be on all these TV shows and variety shows, and so I started to do, try to do voices, and I just was able to mimic. You know, it started when I was a little kid, too. I was always able to mimic, my teachers or, other adults. And I did it, enough where I would start to make adults laugh. That's how I knew I was doing a pretty good job of it. But I've been a fan of, and that's the thing, too. It's like you have to remember when someone does an impersonation, some people think you're making fun of the person. I never felt that way. I always felt that I was paying tribute to that person, and especially someone like Ron Santo. Yes, I mean, when I did my Ron Santo impersonation on the radio, I would take his character and the things I said to an extreme because that's what makes it entertaining and funny. But once again, my view was the only way that I could do that was if I was a true fan and I was really observing that person and really interested and had a lot of knowledge about that person, would I be able to then take things with the knowledge that I had and make it sound funny and quasi-realistic? That's the idea of satire and parody. And a lot of times people don't get that. And that's where you get in trouble. But I certainly would say, hey, that's what comedy is. That's where, sadly, today we're in a time where it's very difficult for comedians. Look at the way so many comedians are being basically, tempered in their abilities. When we don't even know who's still. Maybe by the time this podcast is posted, we will know. But we still don't know who is hosting the Oscars because of this Kevin Hart controversy that happened. Something he said 10 years ago. We still don't know who's going to host the Oscars, if anyone. And comedians, and if you saw the Golden Globes, you saw Andy Samberg, who's a funny guy, almost comically castrated. He couldn't say anything, and he wasn't funny. Because the idea of comedy is to make fun. That's comedy. That's a joke. There is an edge to it, folks. And that's what I fear about our culture right now, is that we're so super sensitive that you can't even, if you make any kind of a joke that one person finds offensive, it becomes a firestorm. But that's what comedy is. That's what real comedy is. Listen to Groucho Marx and some of the things that he says. That's funny. That's what comedy is. But that's a whole other discussion. So anyway, when I would do Ron Santo, I mean, the fact of the matter was, why people listened to Ron Santo was because he was such a passionate Cub fan. He was not a slick broadcaster. He was there to provide color and be representative of the ultimate Cub fan in the booth. So you had Pat Hughes, who was doing the play-by-play and doing the, you know, what's going on at the game. And then you had Ron Santo, a former player, one of the great Cubs of all time, now thankfully, finally, a Hall of Famer, who certainly could speak to the game and the intricacies of the game and can speak first person of what it's like to play and convey that to his audience. And he certainly did that. But his real talent, his real appeal was his die-hard love and loyalty to the Cubs. And there's a classic moment where a Cub outfielder drops a ball on an easy play during a game, and Santo almost, you know, has a heart attack. Oh, come on, jeez, gee whiz. Oh, how could he drop the ball? And it was that was what every fan who was watching or listening to that game was thinking and saying. And Ron communicated that, and that's why he was such a great broadcaster for the Cubs. It wasn't because many times of his insights. It certainly wasn't because of his ability to be a broadcaster in terms of being articulate and being a master with words or painting a visual picture with words. That was not Ron's forte. Ron's forte was being Ron Santo, who was a Cub great and a great Cub fan. And so when I did my Ron Santo, I mean, I took Ron's parts of his personality and those things and obviously took them to extreme for comic effect. But at the end of the day, I knew so much about Ron Santo because when I was a kid growing up, he was my idol. I had posters of him in my room. I was always number 10 throughout my entire career, whenever I could be. When I played baseball, I was always number 10. That was my number. Ron Santo, number 10. So sometimes some people got the joke, some people didn't. But then hey, you know, when you put yourself out there, that's part of the deal. Not everyone's going to get the joke, not everyone's going to like you. But I was most proud that Ron thought it was funny. He got the joke, and he gave it his blessing. And so that's when I started to do Ron Santo. And number 10 of the Chicago Cubs. Now, granted, that wasn't exactly how Ron Santo sounded. But it was close enough. And by what I said and then how I extrapolated on it and made it almost crazy is what made the impersonation funny. So I thought I would play, at least in my mind. So now, if you Cub fans, you may have heard, but here is the sound of Bob Einstein as Marty Funkhauser, and then I will show you my Marty Funkhauser / Ron Santo.
I don't care about the money. Someone stole flowers that were marking the spot where my mother was hit in her wheelchair.
Really?
Yes. I'm not a violent person, but if I find this guy, I don't know what I'm going to do to him.
Now, that's how. Hi, Larry. So that's Marty Funkhauser. So that's how, when I would do Marty Funkhauser, that's how I would do him. So people said, well, that sounds like you're Ron Santo. Well, it does, but it doesn't. Because as you could see, I'm talking very straight right now. And that's my Marty Funkhauser. Now, when I do Ron Santo, he's a little slower and a little deeper. And he's got kind of a little of an accent as well. And he sort of goes down when he talks. Hi, Patrick. And he had some little vocal niches there that you could play onto. Whereas Marty Funkhauser talked like this. Now, when I would do Ron Santo, because like I said, he was kind of all over the place. You know, he was scattered. He was watching the game. He would go off on tangents, and that was funny about him, and that was engaging about him. And he would mix up the names. He wouldn't say the names right of the players sometimes. And so once again, having listened to Ron Santo on the radio for many years, of being a fan of his, I knew all these little picadillos and all these little idiosyncrasies. And that's how I was able to then, you know, satirize them, make a parody of them, and, you know, inflate them for comic purposes. And one of the things I think now in retrospect, why some people think that this is, you know, this is my Marty Funkhauser and this is my Ron Santo. Yes, believe me, I understand they're close, but they were close in real life. But one of the things that maybe got people to think that it sounded like Marty Funkhauser was I would also, when I was on with Gary Meyer and he would interview me as Ron, I would say his name wrong on purpose because that would be funny. So instead of Gary, I just found a name off the top of my head one day. It wasn't thought out at all. I just thought it would be funny to say, you know, his name wrong when he was interviewing me, because Gary would say, "So Ron, what about the Cub game?" And I'd say, "Well, you know, I don't know how we lost, and Lou Piniella and the Cubs, when you know, Patrick," and I would say all the little buzzwords that, you know, that Ron would say. Well, I would say, instead of Gary, I would say Larry, just because it was close, but not close enough. So I would say, "Well, you know, Larry, the Cubs." And so I think that when I said, "Hey, Larry," people thought of Marty Funkhauser saying, "Hey, Larry." Now, once again, I understand it's very close, folks. But so was Ron, and so was Super Dave in their voices to some extent. And the other side of an impersonation is that sometimes you don't have to nail the voice as much as if you also provide, once again, the content of what you're saying. If you're close enough to the voice, that's fine, because the funny stuff that you're saying makes up for that, and you're still recreating that character in some way. You know, the classic Dan Aykroyd, Tom Schneider impersonation wasn't perfect, but he nailed Tom Snyder's personality so much that became the impersonation. When you did Tom Snyder, you did Dan Aykroyd as Tom Snyder, because he provided the persona and the content. And so a lot of times when you do that, that's what you go for. You try to come as close as you can to the voice, but if you can, you nail the content so that it's funny, it's entertaining, and people still know who you're doing. So you see, now I could do Jack Benny, you see. Now stop that, Rochester. Now, hey, you know, I noticed that Jack Benny would always say, when he was telling a joke, he would say, "You see." So boom, you grab that, even though the voice might not be perfect. If you grab some of those things that you know that they do, you know, that makes it funny. And so I always, so then when people would compare my Ron Santo, who was a broadcaster for Chicago Cubs. And if you ever listen, what was great was Ron Santo would interview the Cubs managers before the game. And that was really where I got the impersonation from, because, you know, when he would interview them for this little segment before, I'm sure he had just some makeshift equipment in the manager's office. He wasn't sitting, you know, at a desk in the booth with the whole microphone. And so you could see that he was a little out of his element. And that's where he would talk in this lower register, because I think they were like, you know, in the manager's office. And that was the Ron Santo that I really grabbed upon, was the Ron Santo that would interview the manager, like Lou Piniella and other managers, before the game, because he would always be very kind of docile. And that was the one that I picked up on. And I could also hear this hint of a little, I mean, Ron Santo was born in Seattle, Washington, so it wasn't like he had a southern accent, but he did seem to have a little accent to his voice. And so that's where I would grab on. And so when he would be like, this Ron Santo, and we're here with Cubs manager Lou Piniella in the dugout. And Lou, so how do you see today's game? And once again, go on Google and find some Ron Santo. That's the way he did it, folks. And so that was kind of the Ron Santo that I picked up on. So in my mind, when I did Ron Santo, my Ron Santo was kind of down lower and a little slower. And he would always go Chicago Cubs. And then of course, he had, oh, gee whiz, come on. Then, you know, that was funny because that's what Ron did when a Cub made an error or something went wrong. Oh, gee whiz, come on. And that's what I sort of did. And that come on became kind of the joke of the impersonation. Just like, you know, the Cary Grant, Judy, Judy, Judy. He never said Judy, Judy, Judy. Cary Grant never said Judy, Judy, Judy. But anytime anyone did Cary Grant for some reason, somebody came up with, because that was the way that the voice would sound good. And all of a sudden, Judy, Judy, Judy became what you did when you did Cary Grant. Judy, Judy, Judy. But that, he never said it. So with my Ron Santo, it was like, come on, gee whiz, oh, man. Well, Ron did that. So it was just recreating that and pointing that out to people and going, oh, my God, there's Ron Santo. Even though it wasn't perfect, the come on and, oh, gee whiz, they knew it was Ron Santo. And then, of course, you do, this is Ron Santo. We're talking to Lou Piniella, manager of the Chicago Cubs. And as I said, so when I would say, hey, Larry, I think people said, well, he's saying Larry David. And that reminded people of Marty Funkhauser, who was up here. Hi, Larry. Now, you tell me what's going on, Larry, because I don't know what I'm going to say. You know, and so that's how.
I can't believe that a human being would do that.
I can't believe that a human being would do that.
Missing.
I keep track of it. I drive by there 10 times a day.
I keep track of it. I drive by there 10 times a day. There you go. See, he's more higher in register, and he's not as slow, and he's more up here. But it's still that gravelly voice. So there's a little insight into at least how I do impersonations.
Whether it's Ron Santo, broadcaster for Chicago Cubs, along with my good friend and broadcasting partner, Patrick. Hi, Patrick.
And he would always call Pat Hughes Patrick. And so once again, I just grabbed on that, and people would go, whether the impersonation was perfect or not didn't matter, because I was grabbing on to these little touchstones that you knew it was Ron Santo.
Hi, everybody. Ron Santo right here talking to Lou Piniella, great manager of the Chicago Cubs.
Like I said, Ron was not articulate. He was not the greatest broadcaster in the broadcaster's sense, like an Al Michaels or Vin Scully, or this, we were talking about Pat Hughes or Jack, Joe Buck or any of the guys that do the games now.
He was a Cub fan. And this is Ron Santo, third baseman for Chicago Cubs.
You know, and he would drop
for Chicago Cubs.
He would drop the thes. So I studied him enough, being a fan of the games, hearing him enough. And because I am able to mimic people, that's the kind of stuff that I gravitated to.
So the funny thing is that while I started doing a Ron Santo, little did I know, Larry, that I also then had a Marty Funkhauser.
So sometimes, you know.
Okay, you know what? You should go home now. Don't worry about the 50. I don't even care about it anymore. You know.
What is that I smell?
What is that I smell? So anyway, I would say that if you're a fan of Ron Santo, third baseman for Chicago Cubs, or Marty Funkhauser, hey Larry, somebody stole my mom's flowers from her roadside memorial, Larry, and I think it was you. Or I'm Super Dave Osborne, and this time I'm going to jump over to a bunch of trucks and find out what happens. There's my Bob Einstein. I don't know how many people do Ron Santo or Bob Einstein, but I'm one of them. And actually, the joke that I would always have with, and I still do with a lot of my impersonations, is that most of the people that I do, unfortunately, have all passed away. So, you know, like I said, I could do Jack Benny, you see, but who cares? I could do Louis Armstrong. I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them blue for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful way. But once again, you know, passed away. So that's actually my niche. There's a lot of impersonators out there who do people that are alive. But I seem to have cornered the market doing impersonations of people that have passed away. But I am always, the people that I do, I've always been a fan of. And now today, you know, everybody does Christopher Walken, and there's some of the impersonations that, you know, have become the standards now that everybody does. But once again, I could do Johnny Carson, who is dead. I did not know that. But and that's wild, wacky stuff. And actually, my impersonation is more of an impersonation of Dana Carvey's, who did the ultimate Johnny Carson.
And of course, babe, I haven't done Sammy in a while.
No, I need to get a little deeper for Sammy. Haven't done him in a while, but Billy Crystal did Sammy so well, Sammy Davis Jr., that people would do
his Sammy. What kind of fool am I?
I still have to get a little. One of my I'm most proud of is my Neil Diamond. I am a Sid to no one there. You don't bring me flowers anymore. Hello, my friend. Hello. I just called to let you know I think about you every night. Nah, I know it's late, but I couldn't wait. Hello. So I do a little Neil Diamond. He's still alive. So there's one of the few people I do who's still alive. But anyway, I just wanted to say once again, if you have never heard of or seen the work of Bob Einstein, he passed away a few weeks ago at age 76. I would urge you to go online. As I say, that's the great thing about our technological world these days. You go on, you know, Google or YouTube, and you can find so much information and so much content. And so if you've never heard of Bob Einstein, he was Super Dave Osborne. And then later he was Marty Funkhauser. Hey, Larry. Did you take the flowers off my mom's memorial, my roadside memorial? Well, screw you, Larry. Or go to, and even go to YouTube and just hit Marty Funkhauser, and there are several scenes of just him. Or go back, and if you're not a fan or if you've never seen, go. You want to binge on a weekend. You got some binge time. Please go back and binge on Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry David, Richard Lewis, Cheryl Hines, Bob Einstein. So many good people in the regular cast. As you know, Jeff Garlin, who now is on the Goldbergs, major player on that, also a producer. In addition to Larry David, and a lot of people that come on and just do, you know, guest spots. It's one of the great comedy shows. It really is. Yes, it's very dark humor. It's very mean humor at times. But that's what humor is, folks. You're trying to find the absurd and take it to another level. Sometimes that requires you to make fun. I know we're in an era here where people were never made fun of, and everybody doesn't, you know, gets offended at the slightest thing, but that's what humor is. Take it for what it's worth. It's a joke. Now, yes, I understand. We go back. My gosh, I watch a lot of reruns of some shows, and you see some shows, especially, my gosh, go back and look at some of the old game shows, like the Game Show Network, or there's another one called Buzzer. My gosh, some of the humor and some of the comments that are made, you could never get away with them now. But those were the times. Not saying it's right, but that's the humor that we've had. We have to at least embrace or at least acknowledge our humor of the past. And yes, I mean, to tell race blatantly racist jokes are not funny. But to have fun with people of what they say or what they do, that's not offensive. Anyway, I've rambled as I usually do, and that's what I think is the charm of this podcast, and that's what I think is the freedom of it. And that's what makes it funny and entertaining, right? The freedom. We live in a place of freedom of speech. I'm getting worried that we're losing our freedom of speech. Because of the ability for people to have instant access to airing their, if they're offended, one person doesn't get the joke, and suddenly it becomes, as I said with Kevin Hart, a firestorm. But that's another topic. Today's topic was Bob Einstein, who passed away at age 76. Look him up, and look up his brother's work, Albert Brooks, as well. A talented family. It's sorry to see Marty Funkhauser will no longer be a part of Curb Your Enthusiasm, but Bob Einstein's work on Curb Your Enthusiasm will certainly go down for those of us who enjoy the show. And as I said, take a look at the old Super Dave Osbournes. I'm going to go back and take a look at them now. I wonder if I was being too harsh on those back in the 80s. I'm going to take a look back at those, and maybe I'll get the joke once again. Maybe at the time I just thought it was silly, and now maybe I will start to see what the humor of it was. Because the truth of it is, I used to love Evel Knievel. I used to love watching Evel Knievel. I had the Evel Knievel doll, and the little they used to have a motorcycle that you could actually rev up, and he would do jumps. Oh, I used to love Evel Knievel. So maybe when I saw Super Dave Osborne at the time, maybe it was still a little too soon for people to make fun of Evel Knievel. Maybe that's why I was anti. So I'm going to actually go back and revisit some Super Dave Osbornes. So if I could do it, so could you. All right? So Bob Einstein, let me just say that whether I was doing you or Ron Santo or anyone in the era of that same kind of voice, let me just say this to anybody who's a Bob Einstein fan. Hello, Larry. Did you take the flowers off of my did you take the flowers off of my mom's? I might as well do a Marty Funkhauser outro. What do you say? So this has been Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. I hope you had a good time. I'm Marty Funkhauser. I hope you'll continue to listen to Elton Jim and his podcast when a new episode is posted every Monday right there on WGNplus.com. I'm Marty Funkhauser. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. So this is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic from the end of the web to your screen, Larry. Super Dave. Bye, Marty. Bye, Larry.